It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up next on Central Time, we'll talk to a privacy and law expert who says it's time to turn the tables on social media companies and develop a people's terms of service.
First, President Obama is trekking to Europe this week to attend the 2014 NATO summit. Since the end of the Cold War, these summits have seemingly been searching for a new purpose for the alliance. Some of the attendees haven't always been shy about voicing their displeasure about being there.
But according to our next guest, this is the year that could change things. And with Russian President Vladimir Putin's push into Ukraine, the 65-year-old NATO finally has a mission.
Joining us now is George Condon. He's White House correspondent for the National Journal. George, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it.
So NATO founded in opposition to the Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc. Since the end of the Cold War, has there been kind of a question about what it's still there for?
Oh, they have spent all their summits since 1989, basically wither the Western alliance. You know, what is the future? What is the purpose? What's holding us together? And on this one, they actually don't have to answer that question. They sort of had it answered for them by Vladimir Putin.
So in absence of this this issue with Russia here, at 17 of these summits since the Berlin Wall came down, what have they talked about? What have they done? What's their mission been in absence of a mission?
Well, that's one of the things they've talked about is you sort of go back to the original meaning of the summit, which they shortened to keep the Russians out, the Americans in, and the Germans down. And they said, well, we've achieved that, so let's talk about partnerships with Russia, NATO-Russia partnerships. Let's talk about out-of-theater operations, Afghanistan being the first one outside of Europe. That's what's engaged them.
So out of theater, meaning we've got nothing to do in Europe, so what else can we do around the rest of the world?
Exactly.
So, and you mentioned partnerships with Russia. Vladimir Putin had been invited to hang out at some past summits, not this time around.
No, that's true. He's attended some. He pointedly said he had to, I think it was, wash his hair when the Chicago summit was in 2012. He said he had to pick his cabinet, even though he wasn't the one picking the cabinet at the time. But this time, they don't have to play games like that because they didn't want him there and they didn't invite him.
So even leading up to the summit itself, President Obama is sending a message by his travel plans, you write. He's going via Estonia. Why?
Well, because the countries, especially the NATO members, who are most nervous about what are Russian intentions are the three Baltic states and Poland. And the president already carried his message to Poland with an earlier trip, and he needs to go to the Baltic states. And in Estonia, he'll meet with the other two Baltic leaders, Lithuania and Latvia. And what they want to hear is one thing, that Article 5 is ironclad. And Article 5 is the key article in the NATO charter, which basically says an attack on one member is regarded as an attack on all.
So that means that unlike Ukraine, not a NATO member, if there is Russian military intervention of any sort on any of these NATO countries, Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, for example, that's an attack on all NATO countries, and a military response would be expected from the U.S. and all the NATO partners.
Well, there's a little out there. It doesn't say you have to have a military response. It says you have to have a response. Now, it certainly, if you had Russian tanks moving and to lend, you would certainly see a military response. But imagine for a second if President George W. Bush had wanted to expand NATO to include Georgia and Ukraine. If he had had his way on that, we would have been required, and the other NATO members would have been required to respond in 2008 when Russia went into Georgia, and respond last year when Russia went into Crimea.
Well, flipping that around, though, if they were NATO members, would Russia have felt that freedom to act in the way they did in those places?
Well, that's an unanswerable question.
Sure.
What we do know is that Vladimir Putin feels really aggrieved by NATO. He blames NATO for all of his problems. And I am not sure that you'd want to stake everything on a bet that he would have been dissuaded, because he really wants to restore what he sees as the glory of the Soviet Union, and feels a special kinship with Ukraine, which they blame Nikita Khrushchev for basically giving away when he was head of the Soviet Union. So I wouldn't have taken that bet that he wouldn't have acted.
And Putin is aggrieved by NATO's very conscious effort to expand eastward, their drive to the east. In a way, he wasn't pleased that NATO wanted to get countries that he regarded in his, to use the 19th century term, a sphere of influence.
Exactly. I mean, he was not happy when Poland became a member. He certainly was not happy when the three Baltic states came in. There was less unhappiness about Hungary, but it was still there. I mean, they basically see NATO as an anti-Russian organization and do not like, and especially now that there's talk that Finland is considering applying for NATO. I mean, that really would drive them crazy.
Well, looking at options on the table as NATO meets this week and focuses largely on Russia and the situation in Ukraine, the latest news there, there are members of the Russian military, or at least past members, getting captured in Ukraine. Russia denying that they're actively involved in Ukraine. Ukraine saying no, they're armored units, they're infantry units of the Russian army in Ukraine. What can NATO do that hasn't already been done in terms of sanctions?
Well, number one, you can ratchet up the sanctions and make them even more painful. This is not like before 1989. I mean, Russia's economy is integrated with the West and with the rest of the world. And whereas sanctions during the Cold War probably wouldn't have had much impact, it is having an impact. If you look at the value of the ruble, or you look at the contraction of the GDP, it is hurting them. And at some point, we haven't reached that point, Putin will not want to absorb that. The second thing that they're talking about doing is what they're calling a rapid reaction force, where you would have like 4,000 troops that would be able to move on 8 hours' notice and deploy quickly into Eastern Europe. And that's something they're probably going to agree on in Wales.
Well, as things have deteriorated here, I've seen some mentions of, we're in the equivalent of a new Cold War. Is that an exaggeration, or is there something to that?
It's an exaggeration. I mean, we're not going back to a Warsaw Pact against NATO and ICP, and realistic fears of ICBM striking. But when you are dealing with two countries with nuclear forces, you do have to tread carefully. But I would not go so far as to say another Cold War. There was a lot more involved than that.
George, before I let you go, do you think there's going to be relative harmony among NATO members, relative agreement in how to deal with Russia at this meeting this week?
Well, now that one of the problems in NATO being so big now, for an alliance that operates on consensus, having 28 members, it is more difficult. They're certainly going to fight again over, our desire that all NATO members spend at least 2% of GDP on defense, because only four of the NATO members right now are meeting that, and the United States does not want to keep, bankrolling the entire alliance along with Britain. You have countries like Hungary, surprisingly, that thinks the sanctions are too strict, and then you balance that with Poland and the Baltics, who want them stronger. So I think they will come up with something, but the consensus isn't quite as easy as it used to be.
George, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure, glad to.
That was George Condon. He's White House correspondent for the National Journal. He just wrote the piece there, "As Obama Heads to Summit, NATO Finds Renewed Purpose."